Good morning. I'd like to call the opening of the bid meeting to order. The first order of business, letter of notification. Gentlemen, serve our proof the publication has been received in the Office of Mineral Resources on behalf of the State Mineral and Energy Board.
For the state of Louisiana, from the Advocate Official Journal for the state of Louisiana, and from the Secretary of Journal as evidence that tract number
43126 through 43191 have been advertised in accordance with and under provisions of Chapter 2, Title 30 of the Revised Statutes of 1950 as amended. Letters of protest. We received two letters of protest from Dennis Bates Bullen, LLP, dated April 2nd, 2013, on tract number 43160 and 43169. A notification of tracts to be withdrawn. Tract number 43160 will be withdrawn from today's sale. If there are any bids, this will be taken up in the nomination and tract committee. If there are any bids on this tract, you may pick them up after the end of the board meeting today. And we can proceed with the opening of the bids.
Receive any bids on track 43126. We did receive one bid on track 43127, advertised as 2,048.87 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 378.94 acres. The bidder is La Luna Production Company, La Luna Production Company. The bid is for a five-year primary term with a cash payment of $75,788. $75,788, or a per-acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $37,894. $37,894. Royalties are 21%. We received two bids on track 43128, advertised as 2,429.62 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 225.46 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a five-year primary term with a cash payment of $272,806.60. Or a per acre value of $1,210. Annual rentals are $136,403.30. Royalties are 23%. The second bid on track 43128 is for a portion containing 89.15 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a five-year primary term with a cash payment of $20,058.75. Or a per acre value of $225. Annual rentals are $10,029.38. Royalties are 23%. We did not receive any bids on tracts 43130 through 43135. We did receive one bid on tract 43136, advertised as 1 acre. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Sweppy LP. Sweppy LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,951. $1,951, or a per acre value of $1,951. Annual rentals are $976. $976. Royalties are 22.5%. We received one bid on track 43137, advertised as 2 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP, a Texas limited partnership. Hillcore Energy One LP, a Texas limited partnership. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,032. $1,032, or a per acre value of $516. Annual rentals are $516. $516. Royalties are 25.25%. We received one bid on track 43138, advertised as 71 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 5 acres. 5 acres. The bidder is Interstate Explorations, LLC. Interstate Explorations, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $1,250. $1,250, or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $625. $625. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 43139, advertised as 1,073 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 926 acres. 926 acres. The bidder is Oil Land Services Inc. Oil Land Services Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $336,138. $336,138, or a per acre value of $363. Annual rentals are $168,069. $168,069. Royalties are 23%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43140 or 141. We did receive one bid on track 43142, advertised as 19 acres. The bid is for the entire tract. The bidder is Oil Land Services, Inc. Oil Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $6,897. $6,897, or a per acre value of $363. Annual rentals are $3,448.50. $3,448.50. Royalties are 23%. We received one bid on track 43143, advertised as 1,912 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 678 acres. The bidder is Swift Energy Operating LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $135,600. Or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $67,800. Royalties are 20%. We received one bid on track 43144, advertised as 2,101 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 883 acres. The bidder is Oil Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $256,953. Or a per acre value of $291. Annual rentals are $128,476.50. Royalties are 23%. We received one bid on track 43145. Advertised as 1,594 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 83 acres. The bidder is Oil Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $21,829. Or a per acre value of $263. Annual rentals are $10,914.50. Royalties are 23%. We received one bid on track 43146, advertises 2,425 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 964 acres. The bidder is Oil Land Services, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $253,532. Or a per acre value of $263. Annual rentals are $126,766. Royalties are 23%. We received one bid on track 43147, advertised as 1,040 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 157 acres. The bidder is Swift Energy Operating LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $31,400. Or a per acre value of $200. Annual rentals are $15,700. Royalties are 20%. We did not receive any bids. Contracts 43148 through 43158. We did receive two bids. Contract 43159 advertises 2,259 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 196 acres. 196 acres. The bidder is Hillcourt Energy One LP. Hillcourt Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $220,892. $220,892. Or a per acre value of $1,127. Annual rentals are $110,446. $110,446. Royalties are 25%. The second bid on track 43159 is for a portion containing 62 acres. The bidder is Hillcourt Energy One LP. Hillcourt Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $31,682. $31,682. Or a per acre value of $511. Annual rentals are $15,841. $15,841. Royalties are 23.5%. Track 43160 is going to be recommended to be withdrawn at today's lease sale. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43161, 162, or 163. We did receive one bid on track 43164, advertised as 605.02 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 125.8 acres. 125.8 acres. The bidder is Hillcourt Energy One LP. Hillcourt Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $34,595. $34,595. Or a per acre value of $275. Annual rentals are $17,297.50. $17,297.50. Royalties are 22.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43165, 166, or 167. We did receive one bid on track 43168. Advertises 1,080 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 69 acres. 69 acres. The bidder is Hillcourt Energy One LP. Hillcourt Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $23,943. $23,943, or a per acre value of $347. Annual rentals are $11,971.50. $11,971.50. Royalties are 23.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43169. We did receive two bids on track 43170, advertises 278 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 43 acres. 43 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $95,374. $95,374. Or a per-acre value of $2,218. Annual rentals are $47,687. $47,687. Royalties are 23.5%. The second bid on track 43170 is for a portion containing 56 acres. 56 acres. The bidder is Hillcor Energy One LP. Hillcor Energy One LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $63,112. $63,112. Or a per-acre value of $1,127. Annual rentals are $31,556. $31,556. Royalties are 25%. We received two bids on track 43171. Advertises 1,340.43 acres. The first bid is for a portion containing 38.11 acres. 38.11 acres. The bidder is Hillcor Energy One LP. Hillcor Energy One LP. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $13,224.17. $13,224.17, or a per-acre value of $347. Annual rentals are $6,612.09. $6,612.09. Royalties are 23.5%. The second bid on track 43171 is for a portion containing 165.61 acres. 165.61 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $203,369.08. $203,369.08. Or a per-acre value of $1,228. Annual rentals are $101,684.54. $101,684.54. Royalties are 23.5%. We received one bid on track 43172. Advertises 1,422 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 22 acres. 22 acres. The bidder is Cypress Energy Corporation. Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid is for a three-year primary term with a cash payment of $15,972. $15,972, or a per-acre value of $726. Annual rentals are $7,986. $7,986. Royalties are 23.5%. We did not receive any bids on track 43173 or 174. We did receive one bid on track 43175, advertised as 1,839 acres. The bid is for a portion containing 41 acres. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP. Hillcore Energy One LP. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $14,227. $14,227. Or a per acre value of $347. Annual rentals are $7,113.50. $7,113.50. Royalties are 23.5%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43176 through 43185. We did receive one bid on track 43186, advertised as 61.47 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Classic Petroleum, Inc. Classic Petroleum, Inc. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $61,470. $61,470. Or a per acre value of $1,000. Annual rentals are $30,735. $30,735. Royalties are 25%. We received one bid on track 43187, advertised as 17.1 acres. The bid is for the entire track, and the bidder is Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. Theopolis Oil, Gas, and Land Services, LLC. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $4,275. $4,275. Or a per acre value of $250. Annual rentals are $2,137.50. $2,137.50. Royalties are 25%. As additional consideration, this bid is limited to depths from the surface of the earth down to 100 feet below the base of the Cotton Valley Formation. We received one bid on track 43188, advertised as 84 acres. The bid is for the entire track. The bidder is Hillcore Energy One LP, a Texas Limited Partnership. Hillcore Energy One LP, a Texas Limited Partnership. The bid is for a 3-year primary term with a cash payment of $43,344. $43,344, or a per acre value of $516. Annual rentals are $21,672. $21,672. Royalties are 25.25%. We did not receive any bids on tracks 43189, 190, or 191. And that will complete the opening and reading of the bids for today's lease sale.
We'll get started.
Thank you. call the Auto Lease Review Committee. Roll call, please. Mrs. Segura? Mrs. Bruyé? Mr. Steven Schust?
Here.
Emil Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert? Mr. Miller? Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders? Mr. Smith? Mr. Klein? And myself, we do have a quorum. You can make a presentation. I point out to represent.
Members of the board, I'm here to present the lease review agenda today. All the board members should have a binder containing information related to this agenda. Let's start with how many active leases there are. There are 1,867 active leases covering nearly 834,200 acres. The GNE staff reviewed since the last board meeting some 198 leases covering 151,000 acres. And of that 197, there are four leases covering two oil and gas fields to discuss in more detail today. Let's begin with State Lease 3762 and 3763 in Vermillion Block 16 Field. Harvest Oil and Gas is our lessee. The committee last reviewed these leases on October 10, 2012. The board adopted the committee's recommendation. Upon completion in the LFH sand, send a completion report on the state lease 3763 number 14 well. On January 10, 2013, staff received a completion report from Harvest supporting that the state lease 3763 number 14 was completed with initial tests of 190 barrels per day and 4,066 MCF a day. Also, both leases have been pulled into a voluntary unit for this same well. The staff recommends accepting harvests until October 9, 2013 to submit a plan of development for the non-producing state lease acreage or release 20% of the non-producing state lease acreage from State Lease 3762. Moving on to State Lease 17156, it's located in Vermillion Block 16 Field. Harvest Oil and Gas is our lessee. In a letter dated January 10, 2012 to Harvest Oil and Gas, the staff outlined several drilling obligations to be met on several leases within Vermillion Block 16 operated by Harvest. Failure to meet these obligations required Harvest to release acreage. The first obligation required Harvest to drill a well on State Lease 3763 within 90 days of receipt of the letter. Harvest was able to drill the State Lease 3763 number 14 well timely with the aid of a board-approved extension. Upon completion of the first well, Harvest's next obligation was to drill a second well on State Lease 17156 within 180 days. The first well was completed on October 4, 2012. Therefore, Harvest was required to drill the second well by April 4, 2013. Harvest was unable to drill the second well. Therefore, Harvest is required to release 405 acres from State Lease 17156. Staff recommends that Harvest execute a partial release of 405 acres within 30 days of today's date. Furthermore, Harvest will be given an extension of 180 days from the release execution to drill the second obligatory well or release another 405 acres. Any questions?
Jason, why weren't they able to drill the second well?
I think they just didn't have the resources to do so. Moving on to State Lease 1170, Hog Bayou Field. Hillcorp Energy is our lessee. For approximately 30 months, the staff has made repeated attempts to have Hillcorp Energy submit a plan of development on this lease. The latest attempt was to have Hillcorp schedule a meeting with the staff by February 13, 2013 to discuss their development plans. Since no meeting was scheduled by Hillcorp, the staff has decided to move this lease from staff review to the lease review committee. The staff recommends that Hillcorp be called in to appear before the lease review committee for the May 8, 2013 State Mineral and Energy Board meeting to respond to past requests by the staff for an update on progress of their drilling program on State Lease 1170, their plan and schedule of abandonment for the unplugged wells, and a plan of development for the non-producing state lease acreage. Are there any questions?
Sanders, please, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Have they just ignored you, essentially?
Yes, sir. Right.
Any reason given?
Well, I did get an email from their land person, and basically was stated that he was just busy with other things.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Do you want a motion to approve now? We've put a whole agenda.
We good. I got a couple of items to bring to the board's attention. Good morning, members of the board.
Good morning, sir.
This morning, I'm going to bring something up that comes up once in a while. We have a request by LLOG expiration for the board to qualify State Lease 20-344 as commercially productive in the absence of a well test. This is a situation where they drilled the well, but they don't have a flow line. They'll have to lay several miles of flow line, so they didn't want to complete the well in open water until they had a line so they could go ahead and flow and produce it. The end of the primary term for this lease is May 12th, so there isn't an option for any additional rental payments. The board has qualified leases in the past to do this. I'll bring to your attention the resolution from 2010 when we set up the procedure for the Haynesville shale wells for the horizontals that basically are this mirrors that same situation. And in that resolution, you provided that you would qualify the lease and permit them to make one shut-in payment. So based upon the log characteristics, the staff believes that this will be commercially productive well as a gas well. And we request that the board recognize the lease and permit them one shut-in payment, one shut-in period to begin May 12, 2013. And since I gave you a lot of information there, I'll take some questions on that.
Any questions from the committee? Looks like we understand it.
Okay. Now, the second item is a request by Sylvan Energy to request an extension, another extension to the force majeure due to rig availability. As of this morning, I received an update letter saying they may get this done by the earliest right now is April 15th. The last couple weeks, they've been telling me they've been told 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. I've spoken to the rig companies on previous occasions, so I know that there is a very tight window for them to get a rig, as well as it turns out they're competing for the same rig that can do this operation as the Saratoga harvest group that's on the table below. So I'm going to, instead of coming up here every 60 days to talk to you about this, I'm going to recommend we go ahead and request the board to request, say, a three-month extension to the July 10th, 2013 meeting. We might be up here for Saratoga next month also, so we're just going to kind of keep them on the same cycle. And other than that, there were no new matters or no other new reports of force majeure requested this past month.
Thank you. You've heard the staff's reports, requests, and recommendations.
Sanders, moved to approve.
It's been moved, Mr. Sanders, to approve. Second by Mr. Cordero. Any comments or questions from the public? Any comments or questions from the committee? Is there anyone opposed? Hearing none opposed, the motion carries. There will be no further business before this committee. We are adjourned. Thank you.
to call to order the Nomination and Tract Evaluation Committee meeting. This time we'll have a roll call. Mr. Segura, Mr. Arnold, Mr. Bouillette, Mr. Schutz, Mr. Lambert, Mr. Miller, Mr. Morton, Mr. Sanders, Darrell Smith, Mr. Klein. We have a quorum, and I appoint Emil Fontenot to be my designee to present the agenda. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Cordero, ladies and gentlemen. Previous approval by the board was granted to the staff to process and advertise 66 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the journal of the parish where the properties are located for today's lease sale. We have two letters of protest. The first one, both from Dennis Bates and Bullen LLP, dated April the 2nd, 2013. The first one pertaining to tract number 43169. The staff reviewed the most recent state land water bottoms layer and recognizes that the aforementioned tract contains both claimable water bottoms and private lands within. Therefore, tract 43169 was advertised correctly and is to be left up for today's lease sale. The second letter of protest, also from Dennis Bates and Bullen, dated April the 7th, 2013, pertaining to tract number 43169, was situated in Lafourche Parish, Louisiana. There was a portion of state lease 1450 that overlapped this nomination, thereby causing it to be advertised incorrectly. The applicant has been notified of the error and is recommended that the staff is the recommendation of the staff to withdraw this track.
Okay, I need a motion and second to accept the motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment? Comment from the committee?
Just a question of clarification, Mr. Fontenot. That was track number 43160 on the
withdrawal.
Item C.
Correct.
Thank you.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Go ahead.
And the final item are 100 nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the June 12, 2013 lease sale are pending approval by the board for advertising. The staff recommends that they be given the authority to advertise the aforementioned nominations received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the June 12, 2013 lease sale.
Okay, thank you. Move the motion and second to accept the staff's recommendation. Motion by Mr. Segura, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? Comment from the committee? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion passes. And a motion and second to adjourn this committee. Motion by Mr. Smith, second by Mr. Arnold. Track committee, evaluation committee is adjourned. Thank you.
I'd like to take a roll call for audit committee. Mr. Miller? Mr. Lambert? Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Morton?
Here.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mr. Bouillet? And myself, we have a quorum. Hey, Rachel, how you doing?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Mr. Sanders sends his wishes.
Thank you, Mr. Sanders. It's nice to see you again.
See you again.
I'd like to appoint you to represent us.
Thank you. Item number one is a request to place PetroHawk Energy, LLC, on demand for unpaid production payments on unleased acreage, which were the result of an internal audit. Production payments, less operating expenses, are due on unleased acreage once a well has reached payout status. PetroHawk was notified on February 13, 2013, that production payments were due for a gas well that reached payout status in July 2012. Per PetroHawk, this well did not pay out in July 2012, rather November 2012. Therefore, payment was not delinquent as of February 2013. A November 2012 payout status would require payment of gas production payments on January 25, 2013. PetroHawk has failed to provide documentation of a November 12 payout status. A certified letter of non-payment and demand for payment was sent on April 4, 2013. Although there have been several attempts on our staff's part to try and resolve this issue, none have been successful. The Attorney General's office is in agreement with this request.
You've heard Ms. Newman's report and recommendations. Any comments or questions from the committee?
Sanders.
Yes,
Rachel,
sir.
Do you have any information as to why they're neglecting to move forward and cooperate with us?
I do not. Historically, I will say PetroHawk has been a problem royalty payer. They are on the audit schedule for this year. We do have previous audits that we have conducted with them. They're a large payer, but historically, we've had some issues there.
Any idea or feeling projection as to the money at issue?
I do understand that they contacted Mr. Devitt yesterday, but they've yet to contact our office directly. So there's been a lot of staff turnover, I understand, as well. I really can't say one way or the other, but we hope to get some resolution. And as I stated, they will be on the audit schedule.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve it. Sanders.
Moved by Mr. Sanders.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Segura. Anyone opposed? Hearing none opposed, the motion carries. Item 2.
Item number 2 is the staff report to the committee that the election for April 2013 gas royalty is to be paid on a process basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry for the terms of the State Texco Global Settlement Agreement.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. There being no further business, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Sanders, called to order the legal entitlement. Nomination. Excuse me, I'll get it right in a minute. Legal entitled controversy committee.
Yes, sir.
And designate Mr. Meal to handle it. Call the roll, please. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Good morning, sir. Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Brouillet?
Here.
Mr. Harper?
Schutz here.
Mr. Schutz, thank you, sir. Mr. Cadera?
Here.
Mr. Lambert? Mr. Milton, Mr. Lambert?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Miller? Mr. Martin?
Here.
Sanders present. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Graves? Chip Klein? Thank you. We have a quorum. Are you having difficulty? Okay, thank you. Proceed, please, sir.
Yes, sir. The first item deals with PetroGulf Corporation, and I would ask at this time if there is a representative in the audience from PetroGulf. First item is a request by PetroGulf Corporation for a waiver of all or a portion of liquidated damage assessment levied on late release of state lease number 19359 in the amount of $30,300. This property is located in St. Mary Parish, Louisiana. The board asks that this matter be tabled from the March 13, 2013 mineral meeting in order to provide PetroGulf Corporation an opportunity to appear before the board to request a reduction. This is PetroGulf's second infraction, and in compliance with the criteria for the waiver, the staff cannot recommend to the board that it waive or reduce the liquidated damages because of the second infraction, and the criteria does not allow for the reduction when the bonus paid on said lease, $41,400, is larger than the liquidated damage amount. However, in spite of this protocol, the board has the authority to waive all or any part of liquidated damages based on a consideration of any other factors bearing on this issue. I might add, at last month's lease sale, we had two items of liquidated damage, of which one was $30,400, and it was reduced to the bonus payment of $26,052. We wrote a letter to PetroGulf that day, and we informed them of the board's decision to table the second item, and that we requested the $26,000 payment, and that to remind them that they should appear before the board. 2 weeks later, we received a check in the amount of $26,052. We've called them since we sent the letter. I think it's like a week later, just as a friendly reminder, and I've just asked for someone in the audience. Hopefully, they would have been here. So having said that, I can't add any more to my recommendation, but those are the facts.
What's the pleasure of the board? Your motion?
Move to accept staff recommendation.
Thank you. Can I hear a second? Thank you, sir. Mr. Smith, second. Any discussion by the board? Any public comment on this issue? All in favor? No opposition? Any opposition? Motion carries.
The second item is a request by Exco Operating Company LP et al. For a waiver of liquidated damages on State Lease 20356 in the amount of $3,900. This property is located in Caddo and DeSoto Parishes, Louisiana. In accordance with the criteria of waiver approved by the board for late releases, it being the first infraction of Exco Operating Company LP and BG U.S. Production Company, LLC, the staff recommends that the liquidated damage assessment of $3,900 be waived.
Pleasure of the board. Thank you, Mr. Arnold. I have a motion from Mr. Arnold. I have a second. Thank you. Mr. Morton, second. Is there any discussion by the board on this matter? Any public comment or discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously.
The third item is an update by staff to the Louisiana Mineral and Energy Board regarding the authorization given to the Attorney General's office at the March 13, 2013 meeting of the Legal and Title Controversy Committee meeting to make demand on Zenergy, Inc. in connection with Exclusive Geophysical Agreement number 2201108-01. This is advisory only. No action is needed. Zenergy, Inc. paid the damages in the amount of $137,174, so there is no longer a need to make formal demand for payment. The Attorney General's office has been informed of the payment. Item number four, is a request from the Attorney General for an additional four-month extension of time, being September the 11th, 2013, to complete a study of Win or Lose Corporation. The AG staff has informed us that in spite of the great progress made on this report over the past few months, it will not be finished in time for the current May deadline. Staff recommends that the board grant the Attorney General's an additional 4 months or until September the 11th, 2013, to complete the study on the Win or Lose Corporation.
Mr. Lambert?
Yes. These items obviously occurred before I was appointed. If I'd like to get some background on various items 1 through 9, where would I go?
You can come to me. I can get background for you.
Okay, then. Well, I'm gonna make that request to you. I'll just do it after the meeting. Okay?
Sure. Thank you. Happy to.
Thank you, Mr. Lambert. Pleasure of the board.
I also have a question.
Yes, sir.
I guess it's more directed towards Mrs. Cederman with the Attorney General's office. Thank you, Ryan.
Morning, sir.
Good morning.
I understand and appreciate the request for an additional month to study this issue, as it obviously entails a lot of detail and a lot of paperwork, and it goes back to the 1930s. I understand that during a Texaco settlement agreement, there's also a lot of inquiry and study done on these same leases, correct?
The global settlement agreement in the 90s?
Yes, sir.
Some of the leases were involved, yes.
Okay. And also, it's brought to my attention through different news reports that there was an offer of outside counsel to the Attorney General's office. Has this offer been made, and has anybody met with him?
There has been a hint of outside counsel offered, but let me be clear about this. I work with some of the best attorneys in this state. We're more than capable of handling this issue. Including myself, I have 5 attorneys working on the issue now, a research assistant, and a student worker gathering information. We do not need outside counsel. There's never been any formal arrangement made with outside counsel, and we have not retained any.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone for the questions?
I have one. Ryan, the last time you were here, you need a little more time because you were a little understaffed because of, not because you didn't have the staff, it's just that they were working on other projects.
Correct.
Is that still the case, and that's why you just need a little more time?
It's always going to be the case. At any given time, we've got over 100 open cases assigned to the Lands and Natural Resources section. I have pulled almost all of my attorneys to work on this matter, but it is not full-time. We have court deadlines, arguments, trials, et cetera. In active cases, this is an 80-year-old matter, and so we work on it as much as we can when we can.
Right.
And so that's the reason that the additional time is necessary. And as Mr. Arnold noted, it is a very old issue, which means it's got a lot of history, and it is convoluted and complex.
Right.
So untangling this in some manner such that it'll make sense and analyzing the legal issues involved, we just need more time. And like I said 4 months ago when I was here, I can't say that in September I may not need more time again.
Right.
We've made great progress. We've got 50 pages worth of a report written. A lot of issues have been analyzed, but there are still outstanding questions that have to be addressed before this is complete.
Right. Well, and while we don't want to put it off, we want you to make a thorough assessment of the situation. And it seemed like before you were just trying to get into it. Now you're into it. You just haven't finished.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Public comment, please, sir.
Yes, sir. Hi, my name is Keith Bracione. Good morning, guys. I guess y'all kind of getting used to me. But,
good morning, Mr. Bracione.
I beg to differ with Mr. Seidman.
Excuse me just one second. As chairman of this committee, I would request, I've always treated you with respect. I saw that you were exasperated with all kinds of expressions when the Attorney General was making his presentation. That's inappropriate.
Yes, sir. I apologize.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yes. We conduct this business in a very appropriate, gentlemanly, and scholarly manner.
Sure.
Thank you.
I understand. Katie, why wouldn't he, first to go back to the outside attorney that Mr. Arnold had spoke about. This man agreed to take this case. It's going to be 14 months by the time he gets this next extension. This man agreed to take it from the beginning to its completion for nothing, for not a penny, unless he won. The Attorney General had an appointment with us to go meet him at his office. He canceled it. Issued or did anything about seeing us again. Just dropped it. And so he's got all these high-powered attorneys working for him. What's taking so long? This man was ready to go back then. He had the law, everything. He's very expertise in these situations, and it was his money he was spending. And I'll make it brief today. Here's the facts to Attorney General Caldwell right here, unanswered. Here's the email to Mr. Seidman, unanswered. Here's emails to Senator Landrieu, Senator Vitter, Steve Scalise, and Governor General, telling them about this same attorney. Here's Mr. Caldwell spending four times or more than four cities spent for Florida, Texas, Alabama, and Mississippi. $24 million. So they're spending a lot of money. How much is Mr. Seidman spending and trying to bring this to fruition, and when are we going to file suit? I mean, we're going to go another 4 months, and then another 4 months, it'll be 2030 before we get to court. I don't know what other proof you need, but here, let me read an excerpt from an article. It's a very replicable newspaper article, by the way, in the 60s. Altogether, the seven state leases gross loan and others with interest in them, $766,474,707 in the last 5.5 years. The depletion allowance applied, which Russell Long was behind when he was the head of the taxing commission in Congress and passed this at 27.5%, saved them $219,787.92 free from federal income tax. You can read it for yourself.
Mr. Crescione, we want to be respectful to you, but I don't want to remind you, we're not a trial court, and we're not here to deal with this issue.
I'm just saying how much money they had and how much money is at stake here.
Excuse me. Allow me to finish, please, and I'll allow you to finish. Please germane, be germane or relevant to the issue that we have, whether this board, in the exercise of its authority, will grant an additional 4 months to the Attorney General's office. We're not here to try in the press or rehash everything that we've had before when you were here. We treated you respectfully. We want to do that again today. But I have to limit the time for this because it's more for publicity, in my judgment, and I'm not giving you advice, than it is for the issue that we have before us, and that is to get an extension of 4 months. And please take that very sincerely, that I'm not upbraiding you or being rude to you, but it's a narrow issue that we have to deal with here, sir.
Well, couldn't we put a limit of time on Mr. Seidman in the Attorney General's office?
No, sir.
Or when they're going to file a case?
That's perhaps a legal question, but I don't think we can put any kind of legal time on him. That's an elected official charged with the responsibility that they're attempting to undertake or undertaking, in my judgment. But that's just a personal expression. I'm not rendering legal advice to you. But we're going to be always respectful to you. But understand, there are many things over which we have no control, and it just boils down to a simple proposition of whether Mr. Seidman and the Attorney General's office is entitled to an additional 4 months. And you heard him say, you might have to come back here again. This is probably not the only thing, and I don't know anything about this. This is probably not the only thing on their plate that's pressing. And I respect your frustrations and understand that as an individual. But please bear with us also. Thank you. Any other board members have any comment about this?
Mr. Sanders, if I may.
Yes, sir.
A couple of brief responses. The kind of legal agreement that Mr. Crescione is suggesting that the state enter into with this outside counsel that has been identified in the press is unlawful in Louisiana under the Meredith decision of the Louisiana Supreme Court. It is a contingency fee contract. The state of Louisiana is prohibited by law from entering into those kind of contracts. Thus, we continue to research this thing within our means, within our time, and with the folks that we have internally consistent with the law. I would also make note with regard to the additional 4 months. Mr. Crescione has noted that he has spent 30 years researching this. The request made by this board was just over a year ago, I believe. So we've had a year. And I would respectfully request that the additional 4 months at a minimum be granted, because a year is much less than 30 years. And I think we're entitled to, if there is a case here, make sure that that case is rock solid before we make public announcements about it or move forward with it. And that's all I have. Thank you.
May I? With respect to Mr. Seidman.
Just very quickly, sir.
I met with him at the end of 2007 and brought him all this. So he's done nothing about it.
Thank you.
That's in our report, and we do address that issue.
Thank you.
And I brought you a lot more stuff.
Excuse me. We're not getting into an argumentative and confrontational situation, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir.
I can make a motion to go into the extension.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
I have several here. Mr. Fine, thank you. Any discussion of the motion? Any other public comment or discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, Mr. Crescione.
That was item four. Item five, a request by S2 Energy One LLP for authority to negotiate with the staff for an operating agreement covering 503.88 acres of former state lease number 14795, and to take the acreage out of commerce until July the 10th, 2013, or until an operating agreement is confected with that, whichever is first. State lease number 14795, number one well, produced during and after the primary term. Due to the downhole complications, they have been unable to maintain the lease, thereby causing the lease to expire. It is a recommendation that the board grant staff the authority to negotiate with S2 Energy One LP for an operating agreement on 503.88 acres of former state lease number 14795, which is situated in the Ship Shoal Block 65 field in Terrebonne Parish, Louisiana, and to remove said acreage from commerce, make it an unavailable for leasing until July the 10th, 2013, or until an operating agreement is confected and placed on the docket of the Mineral and Energy Board for approval, whichever occurs first.
What's the pleasure of the board?
Motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold, do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Cadera. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Item number six is a request by Linder Oil Company for authority to negotiate with staff for an operating agreement affecting 10.17 acres pertaining to, 10.7 acres of unleased water bottoms situated in Bayou Lacassine, Cameron Parish. This acreage comprises 2.62% in the 8700 RASUA Walker number 7 well in Lakeside Field, and that the said acreage be deemed unavailable for leasing and taken out of commerce or until an operating agreement is confected and placed on the docket and approved by the Mineral Board, whichever occurs first. This is an old field where Linda decided to go into an old well and completed in an established commissioner conservation unit, thereby including unleased state claim water bottoms. It is the recommendation that the board grant staff the authority to negotiate with Linder Oil Company for an operating agreement affecting 10.17 acres of water bottoms situated in Bayou Lacassine, Cameron Parish, Louisiana. Again, this being 2.62% interest in an 8700 RASUA Walker number one well Lakeside Field, and that the said well be deemed unavailable, that the said acreage be deemed unavailable for leasing until July the 10th, 2013, or until an operating agreement is confected and placed on the docket of the Mineral and Energy Board for approval, whichever occurs first.
I can make a motion to grant staff authority to negotiate an operating agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. I hear a second. Mr. Segura? Thank you for your second, sir. Any discussion by the board? Any public comment on this motion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously.
The last item before we go into an executive session is item number seven. It's a request by staff for authority to negotiate with JGC Energy Development for an operating agreement covering 160 acres affecting former state lease 10215, and to take the acreage out of commerce and or confect an operating agreement, whichever occurs first. State lease number 10215, number one well, was shut in for reservoir modeling, but once the modeling was completed, the resumption of production was not possible because of complicating factors. Subsequently, continuous operations and production did not resume, and the lease expired as to the terms of the lease. It is a recommendation that the board grant staff the authority to negotiate with JGC Energy Development USA for an operating agreement on 160 acres of former state lease number 10215, which is in Little Lake Field, Jefferson Parish, and to remove said acreage from Commerce, make it an unavailable for leasing until July the 10th, 2013, or until an operating is confected and placed on the docket of the Mineral and Energy Board for approval, whichever occurs first.
I make a motion to grant staff authority to negotiate.
Garner for the motion. Need a second? Thank you. Mr. Smith, Mr. Darrell Smith. Any public discussion on this issue? Yes, sir. Come forward and identify yourself for the record, please, sir. Good morning.
Excuse me. Good morning, Mr. Sanders. My name is Randall Sanji.
Nice to meet
with
you.
With the Onabane Law Firm in Lafayette.
Yes, sir.
We represent JGC with regard to this issue. Emil has accurately stated the state's position. However, I just wanted to make it clear on the record that it's JGC's position that the lease has been maintained. There's a dispute about that, and the idea of the staff was to allow them to execute an operating agreement as part of a settlement of those issues, which we do support. I just didn't want to let the record be absent the fact that we do contest whether or not the state lease did expire.
Anything further?
That's it. We support the staff recommendation.
Thank you very much. Any questions from any member of the board to counsel for JGC? Okay, thank you very much, sir. Any other public comment? And yours is more than a public comment since you represent a party. I wasn't being disrespectful to you. Any other comment from the public? Is there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, sir.
The final two items are to be discussed in an executive session.
Move to go into executive session.
Thank you, Mr. Meehl.
It's been second by Mr. Conner.
Thank you.
I've got this thing in my ear and you're just telling me everything. Everything. Just like dancing with the stars and dreaming. Okay. Telling me what to do. Thank you.
Make a motion to come out of executive session.
Do I hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Gura. Don't tell us your name. Any objection? Motion passes. Out of executive session. Next item.
Those are items 8 and 9 that was discussed in executive session, and we're requesting authority from the board that the AG's office to continue negotiations with the new settlement terms.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Do I hear a second? Thank you, Mr. Lambert, for the second. Any objection to the motion? Maybe we want to ask for public comment, huh? Yes, I think we have to. Any public comment? Motion carries. Here, no objection. Unanimous. Thank you. Motion adjourned. Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Thank you, Mr. Segura, for your second. Any objection to adjournment? Here, none. We're adjourned.
I take roll for the DACA Review Committee. Mr. Miller? Mr. Lambert? Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Morton, Mr. Klein,
Mr. Bouillon,
myself, we do have a quorum. Good morning, Mr. Macy. I do appoint you to present the items.
Thank you.
Morning, sir.
Good morning. The staff of the Petroleum Land Division of the Office of Mineral Resources has reviewed those items requiring board approval for the April 10, 2013 docket and recommends the following. For Category A, state agency leases, please approve items number 1 through items number 3. For Category B, state lease transfers, please approve items number 1 through items number 9.
Item number 10 is withdrawn at the request of the staff. Please approve items number 11 through items number 71. I'll let y'all catch up. For item 72, approved subject to the approval of the governor of Louisiana. Please approve items number 73 and 74. For items 75 and 76, approved subject to the approval of the governor of Louisiana. Please approve items number 77 through items number 97. For category C, Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, state agency lease transfers, there were no items submitted for this category. And for category D, advertised proposals, please approve items number 1 through items number 3, and this will complete the staff's recommendations to the DACA Review Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Dennis. You've heard the staff's report and recommendation. Can I have a motion, please?
Move we accept it, please.
Move by Mrs. Sanders, second by Mr. Lambert. Any comments or questions from the committee? Any comments or questions from the public? Is anyone opposed? Hear none. The motion carries. And we are adjourned. There's no further items on the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
The board meeting will convene at 11.
It's a roll call, please.
Sure. Is the recorder ready?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Segura?
Here.
Mr. Arnold?
Present.
Mr. Briette?
Here.
Mr. Schutz?
Here.
Mr. Cordero?
Here.
Mr. Lambert?
He's here.
Mr. Miller? Mr. Morton? Mr. Sanders?
Present.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have 11 members present and a quorum.
Great. The item two is the approval of the March 13th, 2013 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? Any questions? If not, all in favor? All opposed? That motion carries. Item three, I believe there's someone here that's going to give us an ethics update.
Yes, Mr. Mike Dupree from the Board of Ethics is here.
All right.
Morning. Morning.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Thank you for letting me come out and give you a brief presentation about the Ethics Code and what the situation stands as it is today before the session begins. I see there are some new members on the board, so I'll just kind of give you a brief 10-minute overview of the Ethics Code and what those conflicts of interest restrictions are in the state of Louisiana. Again, my name is Mike Dupree. I serve as the Deputy General Counsel for the Louisiana Board of Ethics. So what is the Ethics Code? It is the comprehensive set of statutes in Louisiana that restricts us as public servants in terms of conflicts of interest. So there are certain topics really that are covered by the Ethics Code, and mainly there are about six topics that are covered. And very quickly, like I said, I'll go over what these conflicts of interest are for anybody that serves the government in any kind of capacity, whether it be at the state level or the parish level or the city level. So the rules are, in a sense, across the board. And the first restriction is a gift restriction that we have as employees or public servants in the state of Louisiana. And what that does is it restricts us as public servants from receiving gifts or things of economic value from persons that may be regulated by our agency or persons that may have or seek business, financial, or contractual relationships with the agency of the public servant. Very simple. You can't receive a gift from somebody that wants to receive a permit, so to speak, or somebody that wants some form of action before the board. And the way that the Ethics Board defines gift, it does so in such a broad fashion, it makes it no fun, in a sense, to serve in the public capacity. Anything of economic value is defined by the legislature as anything that has economic value or money. So that encompasses really everything, other than the food and drink exception that is found within the Ethics Code and the promotional item exception, which we refer to at the Ethics Board as the junk exception. If it is a piece of junk with a company logo on it, and it comes from one of these prohibited sources, you can have it. If it is anything that you really want, then normally you cannot have it because it has an economic value. Food or drink, you need to be sitting next door to the person that buys you food or drink, or else the food or drink is considered a thing of economic value. And be advised, there is a pretty recent provision in the state's ethics laws that puts a cap on the amount of food or drink that one can purchase for you as a public servant. So while you can sit next to somebody who's considered a prohibited source and they can purchase you a meal, currently as it stands, they need to keep the meal to under $56 per event. So if they ask you if you want the crab meat on top of the steak, you unfortunately have to tell them no, because you'll go over the cap value that's contained in the state's ethics code. So there was a large wholesale restriction on gifts. In conjunction with that restriction, there is a restriction on outside income that's found in Section 1111 of the Ethics Code. And what it tells us as public servants is that any person that we cannot receive a gift from, because they are classified as a prohibited source under Louisiana Revised Statute 1115, that we also cannot perform a compensated service for that individual or that person as well. So if we can't receive a gift from them as a public servant, then we cannot go to work for them or be paid by those individuals to provide us with some form of compensated service. It is the restriction on outside income and is found at Revised Statute 42:1111. There's some additional restrictions in the Ethics Code that deal with participation. They tell us as public servants that we cannot participate in transactions involving this board in which we or persons that we work for or providing services to or have contracts with have a substantial economic interest. And those terms are all defined in the Ethics Code. But there is a participation prohibition in the Ethics Code. It's better now than it was in the past 10 years because now members of boards and commissions around the state have the ability to recuse themselves to avoid potential violations of this statute. In the past, before the revisions in 2008, there was no mechanism for appointed members of boards and commissions around the state to recuse themselves from these kinds of participation violations. So it made for, let's say, some short services on some boards when these appointed members of boards and commissions were presented with these situations where they had to vote on something that would affect perhaps their employer or may affect themselves or a family member in some way. So there is a recusal option to avoid violations of Revised Statute 42:1112. There are some simple nepotism provisions in the Ethics Code. If we are considered agency heads and members of boards and commissions around the state are agency heads, then we cannot allow members of our immediate family to be employed by the agency. It's very simple. Finally, I think, well, not finally, one before we go to finally. There is a restriction on contracts with one's agency. It's found in Revised Statute 42:1113. And it tells us as public servants that we are prohibited. Not only are we prohibited, but these members of our immediate family. And the Ethics Code kind of defines the circle of trust, as you say, of seven classifications of members of a public servant's immediate family, and tells us as public servants that not only are we prohibited from contracting or engaging in business with our agency or entering into transactions with our agency, but the members of our immediate family are as well, or any legal entities that we own a, quote, controlling interest, which is defined as 25% or more of a company. So if we have interest in companies, our interests ourselves or our family members would like to engage in business with our agency or contracts, they are prohibited by the Ethics Code in Revised Statute 42:1113. And finally, I think for purposes of a quick overview of the Ethics Code, there is the post-employment restriction, which is when you think you're done with the conflicts of interest, you're not, because we follow you around for 2 years and tell you that you cannot, if you're a member of a board or commission, be employed by that board or commission for a period of 2 years. Further, you cannot, as an agency head, member of the board or commission, enter into a contract to provide services with your former agency. And also the restriction for post-employment, which is 2 years, is that we are prohibited from assisting third parties for compensation in transactions that involve our former agency. An example would be negotiating a contract on behalf of a third party with your former agency or the board within the 2 years once you terminate your service. So very quickly, that is an overview of the state's ethics code. It is, of course, more complex than that. Let me also touch on the fact that there is a comprehensive financial disclosure package in the state of Louisiana. If you serve on the board, there are these what's known as 1124 financial disclosure reports that are due May 15th of each year, the same day your state taxes are due. And they are due and provide an overview to the public of who you are, what board you serve on, what nonprofits you are involved in. And depending on whether or not this board has to file one, I think it does, because you have the ability to spend more than $10,000 in a fiscal year, you file what's called an 1124.2.1 financial disclosure statement. There are certain several points of different types of financial disclosure statements in Louisiana, but it is required to file one by May 15th unless you receive an extension on your taxes, and you can file the fact that you receive an extension on your taxes. So if there are any questions, I will certainly entertain them now. Otherwise, I thank you for letting me come out and give you a brief overview of the ethics code. If you have any questions, we are always located in the 10th floor of this building, and we can be reached by telephone or the Internet.
I have a question.
Sure.
If you said you're restricted from doing all these various things, then how do you recuse yourself? Why would you be able to recuse yourself if you're restricted from doing all
these
things?
I think it's a very good question, because the recusal authority only cures a violation of Revised Statute 42.11.12. So what's a misnomer in Louisiana is that you have a restriction in terms of income and you have a restriction in terms of entering into contracts with one's agency. And so the thought process is, well, I have this recusal authority which avoids these participation violations. So can I enter into the contract, or can I receive compensation from a third party and simply recuse myself? Well, you can recuse yourself to avoid a violation of that one particular statute, but it still doesn't cure the prohibition on contracts or the prohibitions on income. So you're going to have a problem in some instances. So the question always arises, well, Dupree, how, in a sense, what does the recusal authority provide me? What kind of transaction can I recuse myself from and still stay on the board? Well, let's just say, and I don't know for purposes of this board would have to make this decision, but let's just say the board would have to make some form of decision which was going to affect the property value of an immediate family member. So the immediate family member that you have is not entering into a transaction with the agency, okay? So there's no 1113 violation by you or the family member. But your vote is going to affect the family member. In that case, you can recuse yourself to avoid that participation violation, but the public servant themselves does not have the transactional situation under the other statute and the other restriction. So that while it does allow a mechanism to recuse, the mechanism is very limited in what it insulates the public employee from liability for.
Yeah, most people think they're exonerated to do that, but I'm wondering, why have a recusal if you can't do it anyway?
Well, I mean, it's very limited in the sense of what you can recuse for, but it is there. In the past, it wasn't there. In the past, if the board had to vote on an issue that may affect your family member, the only option was to get off. So now they allow, with this limited recusal, to avoid those participation issues, maintain the service to the public. But again, it doesn't cure that transactional prohibition.
Sanders.
Yes, sir.
Any substantial changes? I haven't looked at the form, new form out yet, and for the upcoming reporting.
For the financial disclosure? No, sir. No substantial changes since 2008 when the forms were implemented.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, again, I appreciate the time. It must have been a sterling presentation because the questions were limited. That means everybody knows exactly what they're supposed to do. So. But thank you again. If you have any questions, you can call us at the Ethics Board, and we'd be happy to assist you. All right? Thank you.
Thank you for coming. All right. Item 4 is the adoption of the committee recommendations. 4A is the Lease Review Committee. B is Nomination and Track Committee. C is Audit Committee. D is Legal and Title Controversy Committee. And E is Docket Review Committee. Do we have any questions or discussion over those committee recommendations?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second, Sanders.
We have a motion to approve those committee recommendations for A through E by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. Any public comment? Any further questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Item 5 is our executive session for our technical briefing. Is Mr. Vaughn ready? They're not back. Okay. So if you'd like, maybe we'll take a short recess until they come back. Do we have a motion to go into recess?
Move, Sanders.
Motion by Mr. Sanders, second by Mr. Arnold. Any public comment? All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Come out of recess. Move by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Smith. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Item 5 is our executive session and our technical briefing. I believe Mr. Vaughn is ready for us. So we'll go back into recess for our technical briefing. Motion by Mr. Arnold, second by Mr. Sanders. No comments. All in favor? All opposed, motion carries. We are in recess for our technical briefing. We'll be back shortly. Executive session. All right. I'd like to entertain a motion to reconvene the board meeting and come out of executive session. Do you have a motion?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Mr. Arnold. Second by Mr. Sanders. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We're back in regular session. I appoint Mr. Victor Vaughn to present the information on these bids to us.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First track, 43136. The staff recommends that the bid by SWEPI be rejected for insufficient consideration and that this track be re-advertised with minimums. On track number 43143, the staff recommends that the bid by Swift Energy Operating be rejected for insufficient consideration and that this track be re-advertised with minimums. Track number 43147, the staff recommends that the bid by Swift Energy Operating be rejected for insufficient consideration and that the track be re-advertised with minimums. Track number 43170, this is a multiple acceptable bid with an apparent overlap. As a result, we recommend accepting the bid of Cypress Energy Corporation as to the bid of Hillcorp Energy One. After we finalize the property descriptions, we recommend that Hillcorp Energy be granted an option to take the remaining property of its bid minus any property bid by Cypress Energy Corporation at Hillcorp Energy's bid price. On track 43171, we had two bids. We're recommending to accept the bid by Cypress Energy Corporation. The bid of Hillcorp Energy falls entirely within the bid of Cypress Energy Corporation, and there will be no option on this track. As to the remaining tracks receiving bids, Mr. Chairman, the staff recommends that all of those bids be accepted. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Is there any questions or discussion on any of those bids? Any public comment? Do I have a motion?
Accept staff's recommendation.
We have a motion by Mr. Arnold and a second by Mr. Sanders to accept the staff's recommendation of acceptance of those bids. Any other questions? All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. Those bids are accepted and awarded as the leases. Item 7, announcements.
The total for today's lease sale is $1,995,427.43. That brings the fiscal year-to-date total to just over $15 million.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I would also like to welcome our new board members, Mr. Dan Bruyer and Mr. Bob Miller, and also, as you met last month, Mr. Lewis Lambert. Thank you for your service, and welcome to the board. Are there any other announcements? Mary Beth? Oh, that's right. There is a report in the back of your folder, your binder, that we get from time to time. You can just bring that home and review it on your own. If there's no further announcements, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Mr. Klein, second by Mr. Bruyer. All in favor? All opposed? The motion carries. We're adjourned. We'll see you next month. Thank you.